scripture here. In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's writing, I think it's the last book he wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. Thank God. All because of the cross of Calvary. It's the result. Amen. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Amen. I appreciate that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I want to talk to you tonight about perilous times. I think we're in them. I think we're in perilous times. I've been thinking on it today about just how good God is in choosing to deal with my heart and bring the gospel to me. I didn't go to the gospel came to me.
That's right.
That was by His divine work and choice. The providence of God and the workings of God to bring a man to that place that he'd hear the gospel. Everybody in here tonight that's saved by the grace of God has a personal testimony of God dealing with their heart through the gospel. The gospel showed good news to you when you was lost. It's not good news to just anybody. It's only good news to them that need it. You say every man needs it. He don't know he needs it until he gets under conviction and sees he needs it. And I find tonight in this text that there's a lot of things listed here that takes place. The word shall, the brother Keith talked about it this morning. That shall just means it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. And perilous means it's dangerous times or difficult times and fierce times that we're living in tonight. Every description of what this scripture says here about men lovers of their own self and all through that time there's a lot of things mentioned here that Paul said to Timothy that these things shall happen. This is going to come to pass. Thank God. And here we find tonight that in the people of God, that we would be the few amongst the world. We would be not the crowd, but we would be, thank God, the chosen. Amen. We would not be caught up tonight in the world or the magnitude of what's going on in the world tonight. The more I get closer to God, the less I think about the world. The world grows dim in my eyes tonight. To know that there's no satisfaction to the inward man because of the worldliness that goes on today. I believe we brought the world into the church, into the church, into the world. I believe that the church's responsibility is to go into the world with the gospel. It never was made that the world should come into the church and influence the church. To be worldly minded and do worldly things. To try to do the will of God. And I think tonight that when you look at all the things that's going on in the world, and I realize to know that we're in another world. We're in God's world. But in the world in general, the world, the system, the people of the world. Thank God, Paul said here in the scripture, he said, thank God that they have lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That tonight, friend, if you just take a look at everything, people base everything about on pleasure this day. It's the pleasure of the flesh. That pleasure was one thing the writer Jesus spake over there, and the writer Matthew, I think it was, or Mark even mentioned that the pleasure of the world would choke the word out of somebody that hears the word of God. We're a pleasure ridden world. We're following other countries going into the pleasure. There's something to do all the time that pleases the flesh. And therefore men love pleasure. He didn't naturally say that some pleasure wasn't bad. He just said when men love pleasure, when their affections on pleasure. And that's what they based their life on. And the commitment of God's not as strong in this day as it was in one time. That people really did adorn the doctrine of God. People really did attend the house of God. When we, thank God, got saved, thank God, churches were full. Amen. 30 and 40 years ago, thank God, on prayer meeting night, the same crowd that come on Sunday morning come on Wednesday night. tonight. But we've dropped off. We see a drop off. Thank God for you tonight in the church here. Amen. There's not a great drop off, even though there's a little drop off from the attendance. But the thing is, we've been affected by the world, the world system. I remember when I was a child, thank God I wasn't really in the church. We went to the Methodist, but it was not. It was just a religious mess. Amen. Thank God they did at one time have a voice, but the Methodists lost their voice when they got educated, and when they started trusting man more than they did God, and therefore we see it in the Baptists as well. Amen. They've come philosophy, fair speeches in this day that try to use God, wisdom of men's words. That's got away from the ways of God, and just telling it like it is and preaching it like it is. Thank God. But I'll say this tonight, in them days when I was growing up, amen, it was a different day. Thank God. And I know it's going to be, because time runs, time goes. But God don't change. He never has, and He never will. And the same thing that worked in the Bible is the same thing will work now. Amen. Listen, friend, and I, if preaching don't get the job done, and praying, thank God, don't get the job done, and praising Him don't get the job done, and singing songs, Him spiritual songs, didn't get the job done, thank God, praying, I'm going to tell you, we might as well shut her down, because I refuse to go any other way, because we're in perilous times. Everything's popping up now. These mega churches, thank God, look like rock concerts, and men getting up, and they just tickling the ears of men, and they say, well, they got a good message. They teach the Bible good, but there's no power in it. He said, they have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And it's like that tonight. It's just a form. It's an appearance. Everything has a name. Church, though, it's not a church. Amen. I'm not saying tonight, thank God, that God can't use somebody that owes the Scripture if they're saved. But I'll say this tonight. Thank God, we've left the path of God in praying around the altar this morning. We sought God, and God's heard us. And that's the way God will work. I'm telling you this tonight. If you need something from God, the way you get it, you ask Him. That's exactly right. No matter what, thank God, it is in your life. You use your heart and lips, amen, to go to God and request these things. Ask God. Amen. We don't demand God for God tonight. Thank God is God, friend. We go to Him. Thank God is a child of His, and ask Him. And we've left the path. That's why perilous times have crept in tonight. The devil wouldn't like to do anything. Anything more than the discourage and defeat, amen, a Christian from his walk. And he can do it by getting things in his life. He knows the avenues that weaknesses fall in your heart, and he knows them in my life as well. That's why he attacks there, and therefore there's perilous times tonight. I think the upholding thing is having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such turn away. It breaks my heart tonight to think, my friend, thank God that we have not the power of God as we did. I tell you tonight, it's not that we don't have it, it's not manifested in the power the way we like to see it tonight. But we've got to look at this thing tonight on asking the question, why tonight? I heard a brother tell me the other day about what church was having good meetings, and it's a good church. And the preacher said, thank God, he said, we just have been praying, but it's nothing out of the ordinary, but God just saw fit to meet with us, and I attribute the sovereignty of God and God doing what He pleases to do. But I believe this and that God sees faith in people's hearts. I believe God sees love in people's hearts. If God can find some faith in you, and God is a mustard seed, if God can find some love in you, I tell you tonight, if you read the record of David, who was a great king of Israel, he worshiped God's Son. He loved worshiping God. He loved praising God. That was his life. Amen. But when you look at the record of David's failures and faults, thank God, I believe his heart outshined his faults. I believe his love for God outshined his failures. I believe, friend, and I thank God, if a man will seek God and love God, he's going to have faults and failures, but God will, I tell you, them will overshadow. It don't mean that we're compromising sin. David shouldn't commit adultery. David shouldn't commit murder. And God, my friend, judged him for it. And David also suffered for many days after that. But the thing of it was, he wrote the book of Psalms. He was the great psalmist of Israel. And God said about him, he said, he's a man after my own heart. Amen. Listen, friend. If somebody got some heart for God, that's where the power is. Amen. It's not much of the time. God, he's going to see 100% in us. But if God can see a little, got a little faith, a little bit, amen, some love for him, amen. And he said, I have nothing against David besides this one thing concerning the, thank God, the offense of Uriah the Hittite, that he had that man killed. God stole his wife. But I tell you, God had mercy on him. That's the Psalm 51. He have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Thank God, according to thy tender mercies. Amen. David cried out, we'll never have it tonight. Had not he failed, and God allowed him to fall. Could God stop him? God stop anybody. Amen. But God, thank God, didn't make robots. God made human beings. And brother, he gave him a will. He gave him a mind. He gave him affection. And he done contrary to ways of God. But God in turn, thank God, turned it and give us a book of Psalms. And Psalm 51 tonight is one of the greatest Psalms in the Scripture, when David's crying out for forgiveness. And he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Oh, yes. And brother, tonight, thank God, we're there at the Corinthian church and committed fornication. And Paul said, you ought to have mourned, thank God, but you puffed up because I told you about it. And he said, you ought to, thank God, mourn over it. Amen. Where's the mourning tonight? Amen. Where's the softness and the conviction and the power of God in the church? Where people get in trouble with God, are lost without God tonight. Church members tonight, amen, know nothing about the grace of God. I know nothing about salvation. I know nothing about being changed and delivered on the inside. I know nothing about a relationship that stems from the fountain of the heart, that meets with God daily and talks with God daily. And he's not just a Sunday stroll down to some building somewhere. Thank God, but he's a real living Christ. And you fellowship with him and walk with him and love him. And he's got the utmost, thank God, of your heart tonight. And in his thoughts, thank God, are precious toward us. Our thoughts are toward him. And we love him, thank God, above all things. There's nothing in our, thank God, should ever be ahead of God. There's no idol should be set up in our heart. Amen. It ought to all be God, friend. Amen, brother. God in the morning, God in the midday, and God in the evening, and God at night. Amen. That's right. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But we're in perilous times because the church, my friends, played games. Amen. And we need the help of God tonight. Help us, Lord. Thank God, we need preaching again. I'm glad for the preacher we have here. And I'm not just talking about myself. This week at the camp, and thank God for men that are preach. Thank God, they ain't afraid. Thank God, I tell it like it is. That the only thing God keep us afloat is God himself, through what he set up in a method and the way of God and the doctrines of God. Thank God, and our friend, I'm telling you, the reason we're in such a mess in this day, we got more religion than we do God tonight. Amen. That's right. That's where we at. That's where we at. Nobody wants to bear down, son. I mean, this. Thank God, say we're going to God. That's right. You won't see God move. You won't see God move in this church. I mean, he's moving. He's helped us. No, I'm careful what I say. I don't give man no glory. Brother Bach wrote me this morning a little note. He said, thank God the church there has got a good spirit of worship in it. And I thought to myself, I'm glad the Holy Ghost can help people. But it's God. Why should we stay there? Why should we press forward? Why should we get in this thing more? I mean, we saw these two precious young people get saved this week at camp. I told you, and I'll say it again, I hadn't seen a lot of tears like that. I remember Scully that night on the Monday night with Brother Terry preaching, and she wept and wept and wept. And then Wednesday night she said she got saved. And there appear them young people, and they got on the altar, and there's weeping, there's tears around where they was kneeled down. And the power of God was in it. I felt the Holy Ghost. And that's a blessing. Amen. It wasn't somebody down there sticking a Bible in front of their face and saying, believe this. Amen. It had to be God to do it. I'm against anything that God ain't in. Amen. Brother, these children's been raised in church. Amen. They know the Scripture. Amen. They've got to be dealt with by God. God's got to do that in their life. Hey, God, nobody can tell them to do this and do that. That's the work of God. Amen. I remember old brother, thank God, this old preacher, he's passed on now. He had said, I was a preaching one night, and he said, this older man come to the altar. Thank God, Brother Barry was his name. And he said, the older man got down, thank God, to pray. And he said, sir, what'd you come for? And he said, I come to get saved. And he said, well, he began to talk to this man. And that old man said, he said, you don't have to tell me nothing. He said, I've been a deacon here for 30 years. Amen. I never have been saved. He said, I know what it takes. It takes humility. And it takes God to do it. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, friend tonight, it's not you or me taking a Bible and trying to lead them into a prayer. God, it's the Holy Ghost. God, that gets you convicted, lost. And brother, that's between you and God. Amen. To find that place with God somewhere. Amen. I say this, I'm glad for the place to pray. But there were no altar calls in the Bible. Amen. Friend, they was invited by the Holy Ghost. The message was an invitation. Amen. The sinner gave the invitation. I'm glad for a place to pray. I'm glad the other night there's a place to pray. I'm glad tonight there's a place to pray. I'm glad this is a house of prayer. But I'm telling you this tonight, friend. Thank God, you, it's between you and God. No matter where you deal with it at, it might be in your car, your house. Thank God, your job, the house of God. Most people get saved in the house of God. But friend, I'm telling you, it's still between you and God. It ain't between me and you. It's between you and God. And friend, and it's a perilous day of all the different beliefs. And I shake my head sometime and say to God, I said, God, I think I believe the Bible and I think I'm on the right track. But then I see all these other people saying, amen, this and that. And God said, don't listen to them, listen to me. Amen, stay with me, go with God. And that's the only way God's got to do it. It's deep, friend. Hey, God, it's the work of God in a man's heart. And so we live in perilous times, perilous religious times. We're more religious than we ever have been. It's just ate up with religion. That's all I can say. And I will say this, God does some things in spite of us and in spite of the method that some people do use. Amen. Because that's what they know. I remember when I started here, I surely didn't know what I know now. Amen. But I was so zealous, sincere, genuine. Amen. That God used a motive. Amen. And my desire to see people saved. Thank God. But I'll tell you this, friend, when God enlightens you, I'd hate to be a man tonight that would lead somebody down into a falseness. I would lead somebody into a decision that would be false. Thank God. And friend, they stand before God one day thinking that they're all right and they're not all right. And be sad tonight, and they look at God and say, well, this man over here is the one that led me in it. That'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? I'll tell you this, I was, thank God, one day I was at the house and these people came by, and there's wanting to buy some animals from me, and I knew who, and they came by, and I found, and I knew who they were. And I got to witness to them about God, and I said, "You ever been saved?" And they looked at me so funny, and they said, "Yeah, you come by our house and led us to God." And I thought to God, I walked away, and I said, "Yeah, I remember coming by." And I thought right then, I said, "God, I sure hope it stuck." Amen. They still in church. God does things in spite sometimes of what I don't know. And God still uses genuineness. Thank God in motive right. But I'm telling you one thing. If God does it, it's because God does it. And that's the same thing in your life and my life. And perilous times are on the scene today. My friend, it's sad, but it's true. Thank God we've got away from the works of God. And we've got into this free willism where you get saved when you want to. You don't get saved until God saves you. Amen. You don't choose the day you get saved. Amen. The Holy Ghost deals with your heart. And you got to get saved when He says it's time to get saved. And when He does, thank God, that's when you get saved. Amen. That's right. We live in perilous times. Men should be lovers of themselves. I've never seen a selfish day the way it is today. And I won't say this tonight. The key to Christianity, thank God, is not only following Christ, but loving men as they are. Thank God, in their sin and preaching the gospel to them that they might repent and believe on Christ. That's the best thing. Thank God, helping people, especially them in a household of faith. Thank God, we're in perilous times. And friend, it's a sad thing in this hour. Thank God, when everybody's the same in the Christian world, according to the outside world. But I'm telling you, friend, you know why the Baptists were burned at the stake? You know why they suffered? Amen. You know why Catholics put them to death? Because they wouldn't look home. They didn't believe what they did. They didn't believe their heresy. And today, you know, you got Baptist churches that'll yoke up with ecumenical liberal churches. There ain't a God. They actually killed our forefathers. And now the church world's become just kind of fit in. Why are we in perilous times? You know why we're in perilous times? Nobody's mad at us no more. I ain't preaching to get you mad. You're my family. I'm preaching you because you're the sheep. I'm talking about people on the outside. I have had people get mad at me in here. Amen. That's not the object of my preaching. My object of my preaching is to preach the gospel to you and the truth to you, that God might stir your heart to the truth. But I will say this tonight. The world's hostile against true Christian people.
Right.
They get angry at the God of heaven's truth. Amen. I think this is right. We ought to give the truth in love, not hate. A lot of people use the truth to hate people with it. That's not the way I believe. I believe we give the truth with a burden to see them brought out of it. Amen, isn't that right? I don't believe in protesting. I believe in preaching. Amen, I don't believe in carrying signs and calling people names. I believe in loving them in the gospel. Amen, preacher. And what's happening this day is there's not a lot of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how to do it. That's exactly what it is. Knowing how to say it. He said, "He that lack of wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberty, and upbraideth not." There's been times that when I was genuinely sincere in my motive, I'd tell people straight up they was going to hell. That's right. I said, "That's right. Where am I going when I die? Where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? You going to heaven or hell? That's the ultimate end. Even though hell give up the dead and got cast into the lake of fire, that's still man's going to go to hell, friend. And that's where people's going. There's more people going to hell today than they are to heaven, even though, like God, friend, He said, few that find the way of life, many going the broad way. Amen. But I'm telling this tonight, there's no God in their thoughts tonight. Look at the ball stadiums tonight. Most of us played on the Lord's Day. That's packed out. I happened to be crossing a tunnel this day, and they had some rugby championship, and it was no seats left in it. People love violence, I'll tell you that. Which I like to see a guy get hit every once in a while myself. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you, that's the pleasure that's got into people's heart, that's what they live for. That's what they talk about. Amen. That's what their desires are. That's why the church don't have no power today, because we don't separate ourselves unto God. And we've got more things than we do God in our life. Amen. I understand. I'm not talking about basic things God set up in your own life, or His family and work and all that. And I'm not against pleasure. Thank God I have some myself. I'm just saying, when you love it and you live for it, amen, when you're dragging a boat to the lake on the Lord's Day and the man of God's up trying to preach, amen, you make all kind of excuses why you can't be there, and you're going everywhere else. And I'm not talking about a vacation, everybody needs one. I'm talking about just living for pleasure, and it rules your life, and we wonder where the power of God is tonight. You can't serve God in mammon. You can't do it. Can't serve God in money. Amen. When somebody looks at you, they're going to say either he's a Christian or he's not by the way he lives. Not just by what he says. It goes by what you do and what I do and how I conduct my affairs before men every day. I'm not perfect. I never will be till I get to heaven. But I'm striving for it, and I need to be more striving for it. It's a perfected work that God put in us that He's got to perfect if He has to whoop us every day. Because He's producing holiness in our life. Hey, God, He saved me to be holy, friend. Amen. He preordained to be holy. Hey, God, according to Ephesians, and without love, without blame, and love, thank God. And that's the way God does it. Hallelujah to God. There's a purifying. There's a work of God in a man's life that'll make him holy. Amen. That's right, thank God. He's holy in all manner of conversation. That conversation means his behavior. And buddy, there'll be some repentance in a man that wants to be holy. That means he'll, thank God, if he does somebody wrong, he wants to make it right. Perilous times. I'm going to read these right quick and we'll be through. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Desiring to have things God forbids you to have. The boasters. That's the braggarts. Proud. I'm better than other people. Blasphemers. That's not only with your lips, that's with your life. The book of Titus said, I ain't got about that older women to teach younger women. All that's practical things. Now, I don't care what you think about what I'm about to say. I love you, and you can take it the way you want to take it. I do believe older women can teach younger women with a verse of Scripture, but that's not what that means. That means that the mama teaches the daughter how to do these things by example. This church is not having women's meetings. We'll have church meetings. Amen. And I know a lot of good preachers that do it, and I'm not getting on them. That's their business. But this church ain't having, they ain't got another woman to come in where I can preach to you. I'll do the preaching. She can stay there on the pew. I think I'm right. And he said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man to be in silence. That don't mean she can't testify and sing, but it does mean she should never have an authoritative voice in the church. Man, they didn't give me amens on that. She ought not have an authoritative voice over her husband. Meek and quiet spirits are great Christ in the eyes of God. That's talking about a woman and her husband ain't saved. You don't go home and preach to him. Praise God. You love him. Show Jesus in front of him. If he ain't saved, how's he going to know unless he sees it in you? I think women is a great part of the gospel. I mean, as far as the influence, the light, the evangelist. They're not evangelists, but their life tells it. And their voice is a witness. Everybody saved ought to be a proclaimer of Christ in their place as a witness. But they should never be up here in the pulpit telling you what the Bible says. Especially men. Ain't that right? I've turned the cross. I'm going to get mean right here. God help, I didn't mean to, but I'm just going to put the foot on it. And I know you don't do it. You can't be this crazy. I saw that short-haired woman up there with a pantsuit on, going on with a Bible, and it wasn't the right Bible, getting up trying to tell people how to live. And I'm thinking, I can't believe a man would sit and listen to that.
Right.
He ain't got much guts. You say, well, I don't believe the way you do. That's too bad, son. I'm a man. And I know I'm on that end, but I'm telling you what, I ain't sitting there listening to some short-haired, poodle-headed woman talk. If I knew her name, I'd call it. I don't know who it is. I don't watch her anyway. Amen. God have mercy. Do I believe I can learn from women? Sure I do. Aquila and Priscilla, they spoke the word. But I don't think she got up and said, now I'm going to tell y'all something. Bootleg preacher in the pew. Straighten the church out, you know, and tell the preacher what he ought to do. I'm going to tell what the man ought to do. He ought to tell her to be quiet when they get home. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that tongue chapter, it was the women that was more a problem than the men.
That's right.
That's why he said, let her ask her husband when they get home. Amen. Amen. That's right. There's a place. Thank God for you women. I love you in Christ. God didn't call you to take authority in the church. God put you in a position. And I'm going to tell you what, we would be in deep trouble without you. I'd be in bad trouble without my wife. As much as she does for me and how God's blessed me with a good wife. And all you men can say amen to that. But the thing of it is, amen, God told you to leave the house. He didn't tell the wife. You young boys back there. I'm watching at you back there. You're going to get married one day. You can either be a man or a mouse. You say, I ought not talk to them like that. Well, hey, it's the truth. He said it'd be better for a man to be on the housetop than with a house with a brawling woman. Amen. That means it'd be better for a man to live on the roof than live in the house. He said that twice too in the book of Proverbs. So he had a problem with it because he had too many women to begin with. He had 1,000. He could write it, couldn't he? Amen. He said that in the book of Ecclesiastes, out of all them 1,000 women, he didn't find one that was right with God. But God, the gift of God, I'm just following the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this, a wife is a gift from God. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and has the favor of the Lord. That's right. Praise God. That's why He made the woman. The woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. That's why God brought the woman to the man and they become one flesh. She's a gift from God tonight. I can understand Brother Joe Catanese. I can understand him of his discouragement. And his wife passed away in December and he's still discouraged about it. You know why? That was him. That's a wife that God gave him. You don't get over that. You never will. Brother Robert's wife, when I come here, Miss Leah passed away. Amen. That's right. But you never get over that. That's you. Amen. That's right. She's a gift from God. A woman's a gift from God. If you desire the office of a bishop, let it be the husband. One wife. If a man desires the office of a bishop, that's a man's job or position or calling. Amen. I believe, I don't know how you believe, I believe in the early church, women were strong witnesses of the gospel. Why did Paul throw them both in the prison? He held men and women in the prison. Why? They as witnesses of the Jesus Christ, Lord, amen. But when he set up the local church, he didn't put them in the authority of a man. Let's go on here. He said, when I was brought up, Titus said that woman will do that, the work that she, listen to this here, that she ought to be obedient to her husband, let, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Yes, sir, right.
Disobedient to parents? I believe in the rod. You're not going to change me from that. But I believe the rod ought to be used right for the correction purpose. I don't think the rod should be used every time, but I think the rod should be used right for the correction purpose to set them in line with the fault or the wrong they willfully done. I don't even think children should be spanked in school. If they spanked right at home, they probably won't get spanked at school. But I got them at school. I got them. You get them in school when you walk down the hall chewing gum. Wellman was his name. He's a teacher at Irwin Junior High School. Held a paddle in his hand at every break and change of class, and stood right beside his room. And if he caught anybody chewing gum, he'd say, "And have Miss Luke, who was the next door teacher who I had, view it, witness it." If they'd done that today, they'd have him locked up in the county jail.
Yeah.
And every parent would be against it because they don't do it neither. When children are disobedient to parents, they need to let them know they shouldn't do it. And you don't do it like this. Now, if you do it one more time, 1, 2, 3. No. There's got to be discipline. There's got to be correction for the wrongdoing that they might know. Why is it so quiet in here, praise God? And I'll tell you what, my daddy didn't... Listen, if my mama spanked me that day, she wouldn't have to do it again. You know why? She done it right the first time.
Amen.
If you do it right the first time, I ain't going to go do the same thing the same day. They'll say, "Now wait a minute. I remember about an hour ago that Mama took the switch off the tree and she held me by the arm and switched my legs for my wrongdoing. And if I do it again, she's going to give it to me harder, and I surely don't want to face that."
That's right.
Right. Unthankful, everybody will say thank you. If I miss telling anybody that worked at that camp thank you, I want to tell you now thank you, because I tried my best to tell you thank you. And every child that comes through the line ought to always say thank you to the people that's serving them.
Right.
The reason they don't, they ain't been taught. Christian people ought to live above what the world is. They ought not have to be, thank God, looked at as these people say they Christians, and their children act like this and they don't even say thank you. Children are not going to be perfect, neither are you, but they need to be taught.
Amen.
Unholy. We live in an unholy day. Unholy dressing. Lower the eyes. A woman should never wear anything that it gets the eyes of men on her.
Yes, sir.
Amen, brother. How do people get down here in a minute? Preach on, brother. Thank God for y'all's modesty. Traitors. Wait a minute. Without natural affection. That's going to be a long message tonight. Natural affection means if you're without it, you're unnatural.
That's right.
Buddy, I'm telling you, son, you ought to encourage your boys, thank God, when they come on and say, "Daddy, I saw that pretty little girl in the class." Say, "Amen, son. I remember that too." I told him, young people up there, I got on it up there. I'll get on it anywhere I can, because it is pushed on people in this Disney mess today.
Oh, man.
And these cartoons that's on television promoting sodomy.
Right.
Witchcraft. all this sorcery stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, if you let your kids watch Harry Potter and all that foolishness, I'm telling you, you're bringing the devil in your house. That's satanic, any kind of witchcraft. That's what the Egyptians did. They was a bunch of always sorcery and all this stuff. And sorcery's the same way we get our word pharmaceutical. The drug world's as big today as it ever has been. A pill never heals. It helps. I know we need them. We need them in certain positions of our life. Pain, stuff like that. But I'm just saying, there's no healing in them. And I'm going to tell you this, buddy. I'm going to tell you this. I've stood beside people in that county jail. I've saw them lay on the floor and groan, and they said for weeks. You know what the guy said, why he couldn't get off heroin? He said, I'll tell you why I can't get off heroin, preacher. It's because of what I got to go through to get off of it.
Right.
Would you please say amen?
Right.
I'm not preaching against what the doctor prescribed. I take medicine. I got to have cholesterol medicine and heart medicine. I mean, I got to take it. I could say, well, bless God, I ain't going to take it, but I'm going to tell you what, I might die fast. True, ain't it?
Right.
I don't abuse it. I don't like taking it. I couldn't. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, the older you get, the more problems you have. Ain't that right, Brother Danny? You turn 60, I'm on your heels. This thing can never catch you, but you running out ahead of me and you have to take it. Praise God. Truth breakers, can't trust nobody's word today. You could shake people's hand on a deal. I don't want to say this, but I do want to say it. You ought not use church members to do your business and then think you don't have to pay them for nothing. If Brother Danny, I'm trying to think of what you could do that I could pay you for. if you made socks.
It'd be ugly.
And I said, hey, Brother Danny, how about make me about 10 pair of them black socks you made? And I go over there and get them and say, thank you. Don't pay them a dime. That ain't right. That's not right. And then if he said, oh yeah, Brother Hot, that'll be $10, $1 a pair. That's the cost. And I'd say, well, daggone, I thought he ought to do it. He ought to do it, and I'm his preacher. That's a bum. He ought to help. It's getting quiet in here tonight. I don't know why it's so quiet. That's the truth. If you won't do it from your heart, that's fine. And you said, Brother Hyde, well, you're my preacher, and I love you, and I just felt like God wanted me to do it. I said, that'll be all right, but I ain't going to call you the next day and say, how about making me another 10 pair of them?
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, willful things, man. I mean, this is the way it is.
That's right.
I'll help you in any way I can. I can't make nothing anyhow. You wouldn't have to pay me for nothing. I can't do nothing. I can't cook, wash clothes. No, Brother Shank washed and dried all them clothes. And kids just kept piling them on him up there. He said, tell him I ain't washing no more clothes. I said, hey, Brother Shank ain't washing no more clothes. He said, you wouldn't believe they still piled them in there. I really don't listen. If you can't take instruction, how you going to make it? I'm kind of loose on that sometimes myself, according to what I want to listen to. My wife said, you listen to me? I said, yeah. One ear. And the shot. But I'm honest with you tonight. There's a hard thing for people to go by their word. And I would say this. I'm just giving you my advice, okay? It's better not to depend on your church people. Because it can cause division and it can cause some kind of problem if you don't get it the way you want it.
That's
So if you want somebody to bake you a cake, Miss Pat's a great cake baker, then praise God, go to the bakery. Unless she's willing to do it. Isn't that right? But I'm telling you, if somebody watches your children, you ought to slip a piece of money. Getting quiet on me. Traitors! Trying to teach you some things tonight if you'd listen to me. I've been down the road a little bit. Heady, high-minded. Nobody can tell me nothing. There's people like that in the church. You can't tell me nothing. I'm not going to listen to you. You can't tell me nothing. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sit in church and you think, man, I can't wait till the preacher gets through. I got to go shoot some fireworks off. I don't know why they have church tonight. Didn't he know it? Super Bowl's on? Well, you taping it. I didn't say everybody is. I'm just going on with it. That's your business. I don't get in your private business. I'm trying to preach truth to you. I really don't. I'm not your police, and I'm the pastor of the church. You are the church, and I'm trying to lead you spiritually, but I'm not going to get in your private business. If you want to put on a football helmet and watch the game, that's up to you. That's what they said Elvis Presley did. Said this here, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That means they got an appearance of it, but they don't have it. If you was going to pour cement tomorrow and you made a form for it, but no cement was poured in it, what good would it be? There's a lot of people going to the religious church every week like that. There ain't nothing to it. I am so straight and dogmatic on this that there wouldn't be nobody could turn my ear. I'm not going nowhere where the gospel ain't preached and where there's no God at. Unless I got to go for a funeral. Why in the world would I go to something like that? I'd just soon go home.
Right.
I'd go to my room praying the Holy Ghost and reading my Bible. Why would I go hear some backward collar wine sipping priest or some preacher that don't know nothing? He's getting up and reading a book report. He went to a seminary to learn how to say it. Not doing that.
You're right.
I'm not going to hear a sissy preacher neither. I'm not doing it.
Right.
Who called me? Somebody called me Joel Osteen this week. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Kenny. From such turn away. We in a bad day, folks.
You're right.
When the biggest church in America is a cheerleader, a religious cheerleader, and wouldn't say nothing that would offend anybody. But I'm going to tell you this with all my heart, you'll never get saved without being offended first. That means Holy Ghost spiritual work on your heart to bring you to a place of repentance. Repentance is still in the Bible. You're going to repent or you're going to perish. Amen. He commanded it. He didn't ask you whether you want to do it. He said He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You got to repent. And if you repented the first day, you keep repenting. If you repented at salvation, God granted you repentance unto life. Wasn't nothing you could do on your own. It was something God did. He had to, as the brother said, He made you willing by the convicting work of God that you was going to come low to repent toward God because your sins of offense toward Him. People don't fear God no more. They've made Him a man upstairs in their own mind. Or, He loves me so much He wouldn't judge me. I wonder how stupid you are. Buddy, I'm telling you, the God of heaven loves you, but He's going to judge you. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. He's a God of control, friend. What would people say? Well, God loved me so much. I know He did. He proved it on Calvary. He manifested His love through the cross. But this lovey-dovey religion that's going on today isn't in the Bible. Love's personal. God loves His bride. I love my bride. I don't love all women the way I love my wife. I love you women in the church in Christ because it's a spiritual love. I love her, thank God, further than that. She's my bride. I got one bride. There's no polygamy marriages today around here. You go over in these other places, they're marrying 4 and 5 people, women. They still believe in polygamy. Go over where Brother Andrew is. They've got people over there married. The chief in the village has got 4 wives. That's right. Jesus married 1 bride. Isn't that right? Well, I tell you, it's been misrepresented. God's been misrepresented over who He is. He is a God of love. But a sinner don't care nothing about that until they see that they need to be saved. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Love, thank God, means nothing to a sinner until He shows Himself to them. When Peter went to Cornelius' house, he didn't say, "Hey, fellas, God loves you. You know, you can ask Him in your heart." No, he preached to him. He said, "It's Jesus Christ. And you believe on Him for the remission of your sin." And through Peter's preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on everybody in that room. And they repented and got saved. And was baptized. Lord, help us. Perilous times. But I'm going to tell you this. Can I tell you this as I'm finished? Perilous times are good times for us. Because we are in the number. You take a look at everybody that's not in the number and you can say, "God, thank You for the grace of God." Because I'd be acting a whole lot worse than them if it wasn't for the grace of God. My car would be pulled into a dark building where they're drinking liquor, maybe. Or into the streets and darkness. Where would you be and I be today if it had not been the grace of God? Where would that young lady that testified this morning be had it not been for the grace of God in your life? I'm glad I'm saved. I ain't looking to get out. I ain't looking to go nowhere else. He has the words of eternal life. And I've got eternal life. And I'm glad I'm one of His tonight in a dark world. Because the light's supposed to shine in it. God help us. Thank you for hearing me. I love you. Stand tonight with me.